beautiful but hot Father's Day. It's a hot day yesterday, I'll tell you that. We are going to start our 11-week journey in the beautiful book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah, which is what we spoke about last week, that Jeremiah is the weeping prophet. He is a prophet that listened from God, that heard from God, and even had the same emotions that God had. Jeremiah, we will be in Jeremiah 29, verses 1 through 14. Jeremiah 29 contains a letter from Jeremiah, written as the Lord's prophet. He is predestined from the beginning of time. God determined to separate him, to speak to him, which would speak to the exiles that were in Babylon. It was especially directed to the leaders, the remainder of the elders of the Jewish community that was there. See, God uses ordinary people to do his mission, his purpose, for his glory. So let us rise for the reading and the hearing of God's word this morning. We are in the 29th chapter of Jeremiah, verses 1 through 14. Wait till everybody gets there. What'd you say?
Jeremiah 29 through 14.
God's word says, "Now these are the words of the letter which Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the rest of the elders of the exile, the priests and the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon." This was after the king Jeconiah and the queen mother of the court officials, the princess of Judah in Jerusalem, the craftsmen and the smiths had departed from Jerusalem. The letter was sent by the hand of Elasa, the son of Shaphan, and Gamariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Babylon, to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, "Thus says the Lord of the host of God of Israel, to all the exiles I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, and plant gardens and eat their produce, take wives and become the fathers of sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons to give them daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters and multiply there and do not decrease. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will have welfare. For thus says the Lord of the host, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets who are in your midst and your diviners deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams which they dream, for they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word for you, to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place where I sent you into exile." You may be seated. So God uses ordinary people. We have seen that all throughout the Bible. He uses ordinary people to fulfill his glory. How important that he can use people to proclaim him even in normal clothes. Even not in fancy clothes, he uses people to proclaim his glory. We've seen that all throughout the Gospels, and we see it here in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was no different than Peter, than Paul, and any of them were. Jeremiah was the same. Jeremiah was a prophet from God, but understanding he was just an ordinary person. He was completely ordinary, and God used him for his glory. He wore normal clothes. He lived a normal lifestyle. Jeremiah was predestined for the beginning, from the beginning of time, before he was born, to proclaim him. We read that in earlier in the books of Jeremiah. He preached him. Same thing with men who are pastors. They are called from the beginning of time. They are called from the beginning of time to preach and to proclaim the gospel. Before pastors, before they were even in the womb, God had a plan. God had a plan for him, for them, to proclaim the gospel. Way before there was even a thought, God knew that Jeremiah would be a pastor, knew Jeremiah would proclaim God's glory way before the beginning of time even was created. See, we're all like that. We all have a plan. God has a plan from the beginning of time, before you were born, and what you're going to be when you grow up. He has a plan to use you for his glory. You may think, well, before the beginning of time, when I was a baby, I didn't know what I was going to do. God knows what you're going to do. From the creation of time, he predestined all of us with a plan for his glory. And those plans may look different with each and every single person. Understand, the apostles and the disciples, they all had different plans. They all completed their own ministry. But it was all for one purpose. And it was to give God all the glory that he deserves and the honor that he deserves. Same thing happened with Jeremiah. They used Jeremiah as a pastor. Used Jeremiah as a speaker of the people. Used Jeremiah to proclaim the glory and to give a clear message. See, we see a lot of false pastors. We see a lot of false ministry leaders, and they don't proclaim God's glory. And it's because they were not called to do so. They were called to do something else. They're called to not be in a pulpit, not to be preaching God's word, because they don't do it correctly and they don't give God the glory that he deserves. The Lord tells those people in Timothy to turn away from that. You see a lot of false teachers who decide to wear fancy shoes on the stage, who wear $200 sneakers. They're putting the picture on them instead of the picture on God. Putting the glory on themselves instead of the glory on God that he deserves. And therefore, they don't see the scriptures clearly. See, we see that in Jeremiah 29 that people were in exile. The exile means being barred or taken away. They were taken away because of their beliefs. They were taken away for doing what they were doing. But we're going to see later the comfort from God that comes from it. And then at the end, we see what happens. See, this happened after Jeconiah was taken to Babylon, 598 BC. By this time, Babylon had already invaded Judah and Jerusalem twice and taken captives twice. Each time they took captives from the land. There still remained a sizable population in Jerusalem and Judah, but they would also be conquered and carried away and forced into exile. They were forced to leave the land because of what they believed. They were forced to leave the land because of the practices they were doing. They were said, you could not stay. If you were in exile, you were put away and there was nothing you can do about it. Because they controlled everything. They controlled how you lived. They controlled how you talked. They controlled how you dressed. They controlled every single aspect of your life. So imagine proclaiming the gospel inside of your town, just as we are doing today in the city, little town of Hephzibah, but a government coming and taking us away and putting us into another area and saying, you can't be here because of what you're doing. And you are in exile. for the foreseeable future. You are to take your goods and you are to leave. Leave your home where it stands, and you take everything you can take, and you go. Imagine how difficult that was for them to have to leave their home and to be taken in exile. What do you start to do? You start to lose hope. You start to lose love. You start to see God in a different manner. You're saying, God, why we are being faithful, but you're allowing us to be taken away. Later in chapter 29, we see why. We see why. See, this letter was a valid and true expression of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is writing this letter to the people in exile, but he's given them comfort because he's hearing from God, and he's given them the hope that they need. He said to build houses and dwell in them. He's given them instructions to the people in exile because they didn't know what to do. They left their home. They left the area they were. So they listened to Jeremiah because they knew he was the prophet. He listened to God. What God told him, he put on paper. He sent a letter to the exiles and given them clear instructions on what to do. The Jewish people were in Babylon by the will of the God, and he was bringing judgment to Judah for their generations for rebellion against him. Understand at this time that God has given rebellion against the people because they were living in sin and they were against God. We see that all throughout the Old Testament. We see that if you were against God and you were against the law and what you were doing, God punished you. He would wipe it out because he has the will to do so. Imagine what we see now, where we see a lot of people against God. We see so much sin in the world. And what makes him not clear out the land? Nothing. He can do that if he pleases. These people were against the will of God. These people here, though, that were in exile, were following God's plan. You're hearing from God through Jeremiah, giving them comfort that the Lord was with them in exile. Understand before that they're away from their home. They're in a town where they have no idea where they are. They're just gone, trying to rebuild, trying to start another life. Gave them hope to hang on to. Gave them true hope. Psalm 25:5 says, "Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. In you I hope all the day." They wanted to be led with the truth. They wanted to be led with the hope that they needed, that they craved for, because they needed some type of hope. They were in despair because they were gone from their home. They were in despair because they were put on exile when they didn't do anything wrong in God's eyes. They didn't do anything wrong. But God led them. God gave them hope through the prophet. That you may be increased in there and diminished. God wanted the Jewish people to multiply in Babylon, even as they multiplied in Egypt. Exile didn't mean that God forgot about them or wanted to destroy them. I don't want you to see when you see that they were in exile that God wanted to destroy them or to punish them. No, it was quite the opposite. It was quite the opposite. They wanted to lead. God wanted you to lean onto him while you're in exile. Because under foreign territory. How often have we been somewhere where we don't have no idea where we're gone? How often in our lives are we mentally not here that we go through those spiritual warfares and all this other stuff? And God's got you. You just have hope and lean onto him. Because that's who he is. He's a lot stronger than our feelings are on earth. He's a lot stronger that he can take people that are gone from the town in exile, give them hope, give them structure, give them the way. And he does it all the time. He did it with Christ. He showed us the way. We are, as saints, we are to lead just like Christ. He is the example that we are supposed to strive towards. Verse 7, it gives a clear command to seek the welfare of the city. See, he said, seek the welfare of the city. Seek their religious needs. Seek their spiritual needs. He's given them as a tool, as missionaries, to seek the people, to get close to the people, that was the mission that needed to happen. To pray for them in need, to pray to him, and to show the people in the land that this is important. He's given them instructions saying that prayer is constant in the life of a follower, and to give the instruction to the people that do not know how to pray. Give instruction to the people that God is in control and that God sees it all. And that God has put them in exile for a reason, and it's a purpose. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 2 says this. First of all, then I urge you that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all the people, for the kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. There, that letter from Paul to Timothy, he's stating that prayer is constant. And he's saying that with thanksgiving be made for all the people, for kings, and all in high positions, that they may lead a godly and dignified life. Same thing for the king who sent these people in exile. That we are to pray for them. That we are to pray for our leaders. That we are to pray for them that are leading us, even if they lead us away in exile. Paul's speaking to Timothy that prayer and supplications is important as a Christian, more important than reading your Bible, that prayer should be a constant inside of our lives. These exiles were scared. He imagined the fear of being taken away, being told to take away. You walk up to your door and said, you are to leave and you are to go. Now, you can no longer live in this home. Take your family, pack up and go. Imagine the fear. They needed a direction. They needed to hear from the prophet because he was the messenger. Jeremiah was the messenger to the people. People looked up to Jeremiah that way because they understood Jeremiah was hearing from God. Understand, Jeremiah was an emotional being, but he gave the exiles the comfort that they needed. Lead them in the direction. We're going to backtrack to verses 5 and 6, and this is giving them direction of building homes and to live off the land and eat the produce. Clear directions on how to live. Jeremiah is telling them, even though you are gone, this is the way you live off the land. This is how you survive. You eat the produce. You grow it. You build homes. You live in these homes. Because this is what God has given the direction to do. I want us to understand that even in a time of despair, that all of this is coming from the Lord. Everything that Jeremiah was writing to the exiles all came from the Lord. Not only was it coming from the Lord, but it was meant to be followed. When God speaks, we listen, we follow. No matter how hard the situation may be, no matter you say, I don't have the tools to do so, you hear from God, you go. I urge everybody, when you hear your calling, you go. I wrote something last night on our website. It's called The Calling. And basically, it's about describing the calling from the Lord. That we all get a calling of some sort to lead for the Lord. That we get a calling of some sort to guide others for the Lord. And I think it's a vital thing. I think when we hear God's calling, we are to complete it no matter how the situations go in our lives. Because our lives, when we talk about our lives, it's nothing in comparison. Nothing truly in comparison to what the Lord did. Think about the hardships that we see in our lives. And then you think of the cross. What happened to Jesus Christ? We can't put in that into comparison. All of the hardships we have dealt with on life, whether it's with financial hardships, whether it's with relationship hardships, whether it's with so many different things that we lose in our lives, what happened to Jesus Christ, we can never compare to. Whatever happened to him on Calvary, the beaten and the torn apart, the lamb that was slain, we can't compare to that. Nothing in this world we can compare to. And he died for us. That gives us the comfort and the hope. Understand, then, this was before Christ. Jeremiah speaking from the Lord, giving clear instructions. It's all sent from God. And Christ is all inside the Old Testament. Everything pointed to Christ as the Savior. So Jeremiah knew of Christ before Christ was on earth. In Genesis, from the beginning of time, pointed to Christ before Christ was born. God pointed everybody to the Savior. Pointed everybody to the Lamb. In Isaiah, they said, the prophet is coming. The Lord is coming. Isaiah knew before Christ was born that the prophet was coming. He came. He did everything that God willed for it to happen to do. All of it. In the beginning of time, God knew what was going to happen with Jesus Christ and his ministry. Kings tried. Leaders tried. Prophets tried. They all died. There's one true Lord that never died and rose again. That's Christ. See, verse 8 speaks on the false prophets. Verse 8 is clear when we talk about the false prophets. He's giving us warning that the people in exile are going to hear from people that are false. That they're going to say who they are, but they're truly not. They were false prophets who would deceive the nations. They would not listen to their dreams or visions, and they will lead you astray. Today we see this over and over and over again of people proclaiming who they are, that they are the prophet or they're the new. I seen a video the other day that this man lives the life saying he is Jesus and his wife is Mary. Wrong. Because you will die and you will not rise again. There's one that died and rose again, and that's Jesus Christ from Nazareth. Watching this video, it made me cringe. He was a documentary, and he had long hair, and he looked Jewish, and he was living the life of what he would think was Jesus, and he said to people, he would have people follow him in a cult-like atmosphere and say, he is Jesus, he is the new Messiah. It's wrong. We see it all throughout today of false pastors and false prophets. We see people, as long as you claim something in his name, it will happen. As long as you drink this miracle water, you will be blessed with $200,000. We see it. All this blasphemous against his written word. And Jeremiah warns them at this time that you will see false prophets, and that they will try to take everything from you, and they will proclaim something in their name, and that's not true. They will deceive you. We read that in verse 9, that they will deceive you. Ephesians 5:6 says this, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Paul writes that if you are the ones deceiving others, that the wrath of God will strike. I don't know about you, but I don't want to feel the wrath of God. That's something that I don't wake up in the morning and say, this is something I want to do. I don't want to feel that wrath. After 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you. As promised by Jeremiah, the captivity in Babylon would not go beyond 70 years. That God appointed an end to it all. That he says after 70 years, it would be a long season in exile before God would cause you to return. 70 years of being in exile. 70 years of being away from your home. See, the false prophets told the people that were in exile that it would be a quick return. That it would not take long because I am listening from God and it's not going to take 70 years. That's wrong. False prophets were telling these people. Jeremiah warns them of these people. Do not listen to them. I am telling you 70 years, no minute later, no minute sooner. See, God would visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. God had a good word for the exiles. It just wasn't the word of the false prophets. It was the word from God that was sent to Jeremiah so that he would proclaim all of that to the exiles. False prophets gave them false hope. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. God knew his thoughts towards the exiled Jews in Babylon, that they did not know or did not remember his thoughts towards them. So God wanted to state them all of this in Jeremiah's letter. He wanted to state everything to the exiles that they were clear on what's being said and that they would understand. Understand, these false prophets were on them. We're telling them, you know, you're wrong. You can go back now. Jeremiah said, no, you have to stay in exile for 70 years because that's what God is telling me. You must obey. You must listen. We must obey when God speaks to us about our ministry work, about our calling. We are to listen. We are to obey. We are to obey every single day when we are in Him with prayer, when we're communicating, when we hear Him speak to us. It's not a, no, I'll go do it my way. We must obey to God. We must do what the Lord tells us. God wanted them to know that they were being taken care of, even though the years of exiles, sometimes things that God's not leading us. Understand, 70 years, that from time to time you're thinking, there's no way this is God leading us, because this is a long time. This is a long time. It is. In our eyes, to Him, it's a glimmer. To Him, He's wanting our obedience. To Him, He's wanting our hope. To Him, He's wanting us to listen. That's the biggest problem with Christians today, is we do not listen. We do not listen to the calling because we listen to ourselves. Or we listen to our significant others. Or we listen to our family instead of listening to our calling. Yeah. Thoughts of peace, yeah, and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. The exiled Jews lived in the experience of God's judgment upon their nation. It was easy for them to think that God was against them, that He intended evil for them. Through Jeremiah, God assured them that His thoughts towards them were of peace. God's thoughts on the people in exile were peace. You are taken care of. You have the armor of God around you, no matter where you are. You are protected. And that He had a future and a hope for all of them. All the people in exile, He had a future for them. No matter how bleak it may have looked, no matter if they would have said, I don't see nothing going on with this, that we're not moving forward, I'm not getting what I want. Well, God has a future and a hope for you. And it may not be what you think. It may be the complete opposite. I never thought when I was a child that I would be a pastor. When I was younger, I never thought, that's what I want to be. Actually, I fought against it at first. But when you get the urge, you get the calling from God, you are to do what He tells you to do. You are to listen to Him. You are to abide in Him. You are to pay attention to the signs that He puts in front of your face. Jeremiah's words of hope and future are literally an end of hope. A hope is prominent here. That a hope is complete here. That a hope during this time of 70 years is full of Him. It's full of God and His mercy and His understanding for you. Though in exile they were not without God, those God sent to serve them, Ezekiel would could minister to them as their as other prophets. Continuing on, God would not hide from his people when they sought him. He will not leave us alone. Allow us to fight in the battle. The battle has been won. Understand that the battle is complete. The battle was done on the cross. The battle was never meant for us to fight. Jesus died for us. Jesus died for his people. The battle was done. And there's nothing to fight against. None of the prophets could fight against anything because they knew that the battle would be completed. That on the cross it would be done. He is the intercessor. We will no longer be alone. We will no longer be alone no matter what we may think. So the people in exile knew they had comfort because they were not alone. They were not alone. Never alone. They would not suffer under the dark sense of God that would not that they wouldn't be found. Their seeking and God's revealing were part of the future and the hope. Hope acquired from the Lord. I will bring you back from your captivity. Here we get to see a promise to the exiles that no longer they, even though they were in captivity, that God would bring them back to where they were. This was a further aspect of their future and hope, that God would not only bless them in Babylon, but would allow his people to eventually come back to his promised land. We see the hope. We see the future. And because they obeyed, they could come back to the land. Come back where they were once sent away. Come back with that promise. And see that there's hope in the Lord. Because they're in exile. Now they're sent back. The everlasting promises will never go away. God's everlasting promises will never fade. It would never stop. We are to have hope in the Lord. We are to hope that he will make a way. No matter how hard the situations are in our lives, that he will make a way, and it would be to glorify him in the end. Hope that he is who he is. Hang on to that true hope. Hang on to the true hope and trust in the Lord. That's what saints are to do. Hang on that we have hope in God and that he is working in this land no matter how dark it may look. When we walk outside this house door, that we are going to be caught with false prophets. We are going to be talked to like we are scum of the earth because we are followers of Christ. But we have hope in the Lord. We are to trust that he protects us with everything that he has. We may suffer persecution. We may suffer from people telling us that we're wrong. We're to take that persecution with pride, to understanding that God is the Almighty Sovereign God, that he is in control. These people from exile for 70 years could be confused with no hope, with no trust, with nothing, and to be sent back all because they trusted the future and the hope. We can do the same. We can trust God as a future and a hope for us. We can trust God that we will be in paradise with them one day. We trust him that he is going to look out for his saints. And that he is going to supply us with everything that we may need. Understand that he's not going to shower us with gifts. But he will give us just what we need to survive. He will give us just what we need to give us joy. Because he loves his people. Because he loves his saints so much. We're to put our trust in him. Lean on to him. Jeremiah teaches us these principles all throughout his book. We are to hold on to. We're going to hear more about this in the next weeks. We're going to jump around in the book of Jeremiah and see all these little glimmers of hope. We're going to see these stories of trusting in God. This major prophet was dealing with a sinful world. See, Jeremiah is considered a major prophet. He was dealing with a sinful world of people not listening, not leaning on God. We have that here. That's what makes the book of Jeremiah so prominent in today's culture. Because he was dealing with the same sinful world we deal with. 2022. Over 2,000 years from Christ, from the death of Christ and the rise. And we still see a sinful world before he was born. Started from the garden, and it continues today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, today we come to you on this beautiful Lord's Day. We come to you with concerns of this world, that you are the only true comforter, that you give us the armor to block out everything in this world. You give us the armor to survive no matter what comes towards us, whether it's false prophets, whether it's sin in this world, that we are to notice it through the Spirit, that we are to turn away from it, that we are to not partake in it, that we understand that we're sinful people, but we understand that your love is so much more. That we are to live like your Son, and we are to live like him and show the love and compassion and mercy to others, the same love and compassion you showed on us from the beginning of time. Father, allow us to do so. As we raise generations of young children to show them the true love and the hope of the Lord, that there's so much more than the stuff we hear in public schools, than the stuff we see in the media, that your hope is so much more, that your love is much more than what we can see in this world. Father, we ask for guidance and protection as we fight off everything into this world. We ask all of this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.